It's certainly good to see everyone here this morning. I would like to encourage you to turn in your Old Testaments to the book of Deuteronomy and the 8th chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 8. This will be the text that we'll utilize for our lesson this morning. While you're turning there, I do want to express my appreciation, especially for those who are visiting with us, and to acknowledge you and to express my appreciation for your interest in spiritual matters that caused you to be with us today. It's been a glorious opportunity that we have had today to worship together and to study together. I pray that what I have prepared for your consideration will bring to your remembrance certain things of import. And in fact, that's the topic of the lesson this morning, based on a phrase that is found in verse 18 of the text. This particular passage of Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 8, is a portion of the address that Moses gave to Israel. This was near the time when they would pass over into the promised land after their sojourning in the wilderness. In the 5th chapter, he reminds them of the commandments that had been given by God, what we know as the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments. And there is a call here for them to be mindful of these things. When we talk about remembering, that's basically what we have in mind. And we use the term remember in a number of different ways. We think about things that have happened in the past. We talk about the need to be mindful of things that will happen in the future, to remember what we're supposed to do or what we will do or what we need to be doing. All of these kinds of things are the things that we want to consider in our lesson this morning. I want to begin by reading verses 11 through 18 because it's stated both negatively and positively. He starts off in the negative sense when he says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, and your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you, verse 15, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do you good in the end. And then you say in your heart, my power and my might, the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Now, again, remember the context. Remember the time in which he is speaking. Here they were about to enter into that great land of promise. You can imagine their excitement as they take the opportunity to prepare themselves to enter into that promised land. Of course, we know that it was a process. There was that necessity of overcoming the inhabitants of the land. Their reticence in attempting that initially is what led them to a generation wandering in the wilderness. But now, at long last, was that time when they were going to enter into the land. They were going to receive the promises. They were looking forward to the wealth that they would gain as a result of that. And he said, you need to remember God so that you do not forget God when you obtain this wealth, when you obtain all of these wonderful blessings and think that you have gotten them by your own power and your own might, and forget who it was that has produced for you, who has helped you, has blessed you in that time of sojourning in the wilderness. And so I want you to note again what he said in verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God, and then in verse 18, to remember the Lord your God. And I want you to understand the importance of our being mindful specifically, and of course that would be a primary application, that is remembering God. Never forget God and what God has done for you. We actually studied this particular point at some length this morning in our Bible class in Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 16, you'll remember. Actually, 14 through 21, when he called upon them in his petitions to God to gain and to be rooted and established and strengthened as they contemplated those things which God had done for them. We're to do the same. So we do want to understand the importance of remembering and recognizing that what we remember influences our every action in our daily lives. Remembering is necessary with regard to education. Remembering is a part of our spiritual and physical maturity. We certainly need to remember things that we've been taught. We need to remember what we've learned from the experiences, perhaps the mistakes or the things done well by others. We need to remember the lessons that we learn as we live our lives day by day and experience personally both victories as well as sometimes defeat or disappointment. Remembering is a very important thing. We're going to get back to that concept of remembering God and that specific admonition in a little while. But I want to begin by just noting some things that we are to remember. We're going to categorize them in a number of ways, as we alluded to at the beginning of our time together. First of all, by remembering the past. And it's an interesting thing because I'm going to call upon you to remember the past and then not to remember the past. But I have two different contexts in mind. So I want you first to note the importance of remembering what has happened before, and specifically to remember the condition that you were in before becoming a child of God. It's important that we remember the past in that sense. Notice the text of Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. When the Apostle Paul calls upon the Ephesians there to remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, and having no hope and without God in the world. And that's the state that each and every one of us have found ourselves in at some time in the past. You remember one of the Apostle Paul's fellow workers. His name was Demas. There were a number of occasions, as we read in Scripture, where the Apostle Paul refers to his fellow servant Demas and talks about him in glowing terms with regard to the work that he was doing. There was a period of time when Demas was a faithful helper with regard to Paul's ministry. But then at one point in time, the Apostle Paul wrote and said that Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world. And it seems somewhat peculiar to us that an individual who has become a Christian would determine that he liked where he was before better than where he is now. And yet there are many individuals who will turn away from Christ and go back to the world. We're told by the Apostle Peter it would be better... It would be like a dog that returns to his vomit, or a sow to a wallowing in the mire. It would be better for him never to have tasted the blessings that we have in Christ than to return to the world after having received those things. And yet there are individuals who do that. But I think what they remember are those things that they desire, those things that they enjoy in the world. Demas loved the present world. He loved the things that he was able to do. Loved the things that he was receiving as a worldly individual. And he loved those things, and he forgot the fact that when he was in that state in the world, he was an individual who was without God and lost. We need to always be mindful of that. So that is what it is that we need to remember. That at one point in time, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That we were strangers from the covenants of promise, that we are without hope and without God in the world. But then I would have you to remember what happened in your life, if indeed you have become a child of God. Remember the fact that at some point in time, as you accepted the Lordship of Jesus Christ and turned away from your sins, that you received the purification from those sins. That's what's alluded to by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, when he indicates that an individual who has not sufficiently matured, he hadn't been diligent to add to his faith virtue and virtue knowledge and such, that he says such an individual who lacks those spiritual attributes is like an individual who is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. And so we need to be always mindful. And using the scriptural definition here, the mindfulness necessitates diligence on our part to grow and mature as a child of God, always keeping our mind on the prize and always remembering what it was that happened that day. When we put on the Lord in baptism and had the sins that were a part of us that had separated from God to be removed, and we were purified, and as a result of that we were reconciled and we rose to walk in newness of life as a new creature in Christ. And as a result of that particular occasion, now with reconciliation with God, we have hope eternal in the heavens. We need to remember that. Remember that occasion when we are purified from our sins. We need to remember what it is that Jesus Christ did for us. Be mindful of that. Always remembering. In fact, the Lord's Supper that we observed just a few moments ago has been given by our Lord as a memorial for that specific reason, that we might remember His death and proclaim it until He comes again. And you might remember what the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 had to say when he relates the words of our Lord, that when Jesus had given thanks on that day at the Passover feast before His death on the cross, that He broke it and said, "Take and eat it. This is My body, which is broken for you." And then He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. And as often as you drink it, this do in remembrance of Me." We need to be mindful of that. Of the cost of redemption. The fact that Jesus shed His blood on the cross at Calvary. Died on the cross for our sins. Those are things that we need to remember that has happened in the past. And there's one other one that I want to make note of. I think it's significant. And that is, I want you to be mindful of how God dealt with the unjust. Because we have any number of examples about how God deals with sin in the past that will indicate to us how He will deal with such things in the future. And we're going to go to 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter in just a few moments' time. But I want to remind you of the fact that the Apostle Peter, on that particular occasion, referred to scoffers. And these scoffers, when you talk to them about the impending judgment of God, they scoff about it because they say everything is the same today as it was in the beginning. That is, we have been here on this earth and there has been no changes. The idea that there is going to be at some future point in time an end of these things is absurd. And you remember what the Apostle Peter said? "For this they willingly forget." What was it that they willingly forgot? They forgot the fact that Jesus, or that the Lord had come in judgment upon the world already in the flood. Destroyed mankind, and only 8 souls were saved through the water. As we consider those judgments of God, it teaches us something. It helps us to understand. You have heard the statement that those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. Those who have not learned from history are doomed to repeat it. And that's the truth that we want to emphasize here in this. Now, you'll notice a text in Jude chapter 5, which is very similar to what the Apostle Peter said in his epistle. In Jude verse 5, though, the writer says, "I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." And his point, the writer Jude's point, as he talked about the false teachers who would spy out their liberty and bring them again into bondage, is the fact that just because you are not a child of God is not an indication that at some point in the future God will not judge you for unbelief. Because that's what he did with the Jews. He wants to remind them of the need of steadfastness as they contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints, so that as they stand firm, they will not suffer the same thing that the Israelites did when God destroyed those who did not believe. So there are certain important things that we can learn by looking at the past. But we also need to be mindful of the present and remember how it is that we're to conduct ourselves right now as we live day to day. And in fact, I think that's exactly what the writer James indicates in his text in James chapter 1 and verse 19. Of course, James is known as a gospel of practicality, indicating just the practical things that we're to do as Christians. He said, "My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Lay aside all filthiness and an overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who observes his face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer of a word, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in his deeds." And so we need to understand the importance of what it is that we are to do. And one of the things that is mentioned here, and in fact, as you go just a couple of verses beyond that, in verse 27 of the text, the practice of pure and undefiled religion, there are any number of things that are mentioned in this particular context. Keeping oneself unspotted from the world, being benevolent. We're told here not to be angry and wrathful, not to be filled with filthiness and wickedness, but instead be active in the Lord's work. These are things that we need to be mindful of. We need to remember to do. We need to remember to pray and to be mindful of others in our prayers. The Apostle Paul certainly was. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. He said, "I thank my God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day." And that's certainly something we should be remembering. I've been one who have advocated and have done this various times in my life, kept lists in my study and such, and have an opportunity as I offer up prayers to God to just basically peek every once in a while and go down the list and make sure I do not forget someone that I need to be praying for, or to be aware of the various things that are needful to be a part of my prayers. It may be that you need to be a bit more systematic about it, that you need to be a little bit more organized, but we need to always be remembering others, remembering the blessings that we have received and giving thanks for those things. It's something that we need to be mindful of. That's why the idea of remembering carries with it the concept of mindfulness. Let me give you another couple of passages that teach the same basic principle about how we are to be mindful of our day-to-day life. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, the Apostle Peter in verse 10 going through verse 12 says that he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace, pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That's something we need to remember. Remember to live righteously. If you want good days, refrain from evil. We need to remember that. Or in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 through 16, the Apostle Paul says, "As you always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, by the way, keep in mind that last phrase there in the latter part of that verse. With fear and trembling. You think about something that causes you to be so afraid, so concerned that it causes you to tremble. Can you imagine putting that out of your mind? How in the world can an individual, if he's standing in the middle of a road and he sees on a railroad track, and he sees the train coming down the track and he hears the whistle, and he feels the movement of the ground as that vibration as it draws ever near, and he's turned away from it and he forgets that the train is coming. You can't do that. And as we contemplate eternity and the need for us to be found righteous that we might attain the goal, we need to work out our salvation. We need to be always mindful of these things. He describes in that text that it is God who works in you both to will and do for His good pleasure. So as we are mindful of these things, that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, we understand that God is the one who determines what it is that we are to do. He says here, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are to shine as lights in the world. Remembering to be a good influence, holding fast the word of life. So all of these things are things that we need to be mindful of here in the present. And yet we go on to the next point, and that is the importance of remembering to look to the future. And here is where there might be a seeming contradiction, because I want to enjoin you to look ahead instead of behind. But what I've already said, well, we need to remember what's in the past. So let me make a point. And that is, sometimes, as we talked about Demas, it can be possible for us to look back on what was once ours before we became a Christian and started that Christian walk, and look upon that with a desire to return to it. And that's dangerous. Demas did it. In fact, the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 15, talking about those sojourners and pilgrims that we find in the Old Testament, Abraham would be a good example of this. Abraham left the land of his fathers to go and to dwell in a land that he would not have as a stranger and as a pilgrim. And he wandered throughout the entirety of the remainder of his life in the land of Canaan as, in effect, a guest or a pilgrim in a strange land. He did that because he looked forward rather than back. It wasn't that he desired to return, but you have some, for example, the Israelites, who longed for the flesh pots in Egypt. They got out and away from that, and of course you'll remember just how difficult life was for them as they were in Egyptian bondage, as the slaves to Pharaoh. And yet they went out, and every time something difficult happened, what did they want to do? Oh, that we could return to Egypt. Oh, that we could go back to Egypt. But those faithful individuals that are related there in Hebrews chapter 11, we are told that they, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But they did not, because they did not look behind with desire. But rather, they always looked forward. You need to be mindful of this important point, and that is that God does not need us. We need Him. We need Him. God, we are told, and there are any number of ways we could describe this. Romans 11 is a good one. He talks about the situation of the natural branches as being the children of Israel and the Gentiles being the branches that are grafted in. He says, do not boast against the branches. He said, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root. The root supports you. I wish we could remember that. And understand what Christ has done for us. And remember that we need Him, and we need Him because of what's going to come in the future. And now that text from 2 Peter chapter 3 is germane. First seven verses of that text, the Apostle Paul said, I'm writing to you in this epistle, and that is the second epistle as well as the first epistle, he says, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. So here is specifically the Apostle Peter saying, I'm writing these things to you that you might remember. And he acknowledges here, these are things that you have known, but he doesn't want them to forget it, so he reminds them of it again. And specifically, he reminds them of the fact that though Christ's impending judgment is delayed because of His long-suffering, it will indeed happen. There are individuals, again, noted in this particular text, verse 3, scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, saying, where's the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. He said, they willingly forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. He said, you forget the flood. We need to understand that the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the destruction or perdition of ungodly men. That's a lesson we need to remember. There is something that is coming in the future, and as such, be prepared for it. Do not be as those who are overtaken by the thief in the night. Be sober, be children of the day, to be mindful of the things of God. And then there are a few things that we should not remember. So now I'm going to go back to the past. So remember and learn from your mistakes. But you realize that some individuals basically just dwell on the mistakes that they have made to the point to where they become so disillusioned, so discouraged, and disappointed at such failures that it paralyzes them to where they cannot go on. And that's just as unhealthy as it possibly can be. And so I ask you not to dwell on past failures, on the mistakes that you've made in the past. Yes, learn from them. Don't ever forget them. Do you think that the Apostle Paul ever forgot what he had done in persecuting the Christians? He talked about it almost incessantly in his epistles, noted it again and again and again as he gave thanks to God that he had received by God's grace the blessing of stewardship as an apostle to the Gentiles, as well as the salvation of his soul. He never forgot what he had done, but he also did not allow that to cause him to be discouraged. And there are individuals who wallow in their own self-pity with regard to what they have done. Paul didn't do that. Instead, we're told in Philippians chapter 1 that he said, I don't count myself to have apprehended. One thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal. That's the right attitude to have. Yes, we learn from mistakes, but we don't wallow in the mistakes that we have made. We don't say, you know, I've just done so much evil, so much sin in my life. Surely God cannot forgive me. I can't get past the mistakes that I've made. I can't get past the individuals that I have harmed and hurt. The Apostle Paul consented to the death of Christians. He said, I forget that. I press forward to do what I can for the Lord now. We need to make sure that we don't dwell on past failures. We also need to make sure that we do not dwell on how others have failed us. That's an important consideration as well. Tell you what, I'm not going to rest until he gets what he deserves. You heard that before? I'm going to persist until he gets what he deserves. Whether it be that he needs to say he's sorry, he needs to apologize, he needs to make some kind of amends to me or another, and I'm just not going to let it go. Now, there is a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14 about a man whose name is Alexander the coppersmith. The Apostle Paul said, this man did me much harm. And then you know what he said? He said, may the Lord repay him according to his deeds. Oh, he hurt me badly. I'll let the Lord deal with it. The Apostle Paul was not going to get caught up in all of the injustices that he had received. And by the way, you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and read that list of his sufferings for the cause of Christ, and you know that there are many individuals who owed the Apostle Paul an apology both without and within the church. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not going to dwell on that. The Lord will deal with those things. I'm going to persist for that upward call in Christ Jesus. And we need to be doing the same. The text in 1 Corinthians 13 is the text on the subject of love. And there's one of the attributes of love that I wanted to notice in verse 5 of that text. That agape love. He says there that love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, and thinks no evil. Provocation. It is very, very difficult to be so loving of others that when they do things to you that are harmful to you, injustices that are visited upon you, that you just can't let that go. But love is not provoked. That does not mean that individuals do not offer up provocation. It's not saying that if I love, nobody's going to provoke me. Nobody's going to do anything against me. What it says is, if I am a loving individual, the things that they do will not affect me as provocation. It will not lead me to be upset. It will not lead me to be wrathful toward them. It will not change the fact that I love them and I desire what is best for them. It is important that we do not fret, that we do not think about what would have, should have, or could have been. We don't dream of what might have been. We don't try to relive the past. We simply press on to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we could go on and on, I suppose, with examples of these things. But I think that general concept of remembering the past, remembering and being mindful of our responsibilities in the present, remembering what will happen in the future, and not allowing those memories to impact us in such a way as to where we do not do the words of the Lord, that all of these things will be helpful to us as we seek to be mindful of the things of God. And so as we draw our lesson to a close, I would like to remind you again, and it is stated in the negative, again in verse 11 of the text, do not forget the Lord your God. We are told here in verse 18 of the text, remember the Lord your God. Mindful of the things of God. Now again, in our Bible class this morning, we emphasized what was accomplished, the redemption of man through that plan that God had in sending His Son to die on the cross for our sins. We're to be mindful of that and rejoice that all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ Jesus. Be mindful of those things. We need to understand, as the Israelites did here, now they're going to a land that they had been promised. Now they're going to be blessed. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful experience that they will have. Don't ever think you've got it by your own might. Don't ever forget the fact that you have what you have because it was given to you by God. And we need to do the same thing. Be mindful of those things. Be thankful for the fact that we have received salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and give God the glory. Do not forget. Remember the Lord your God. I'm going to offer an invitation at this time. It may be that there is one who is here this morning who is now mindful of what God has given to him. We ask that you not leave this place and forget what we've talked about today. Rather, act upon what you know. Become a child of God today. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ as Lord. Be baptized to have your sins washed away. If you believe that He is the Son of God, this is something that you may do today. And then day by day in your life, be mindful of the blessings you receive in Him, and that might it press cause you to press on, to go forward as you seek daily to live for Christ. It may be that there is an individual here who is perhaps missing out with regard to Christ's blessings because there is something that is wrong in his life, taken for granted, forgotten, that he had been cleansed and purified from his old sins and his need of repenting of those things, being more mindful and steadfast in his walk. I'm going to offer the invitation to you as well. We don't know your heart this morning, but if there is a need that you have to answer the invitation call to help us or allow us to help you, to assist you in getting your life right with the Lord, then we offer ourselves to you. So the invitation is extended now. Would you come? While together we stand, while we sing.